So some time ago, the Holy Spirit seemed to speak to me about guarding my mouth. Why is that funny? Anybody have trouble with that? Guarding your mouth. Sometimes when you say something, you wish you wouldn't have, right? And you try to bring those words back, but they're already out there. Taking inventory of the words that I'm speaking about myself and about others. Speaking words that work for me, that work for me and not against me. Words that bring life. So that's what I'm talking about, guarding my mouth. Did you know that in John 1, verse 22 and 23, the Jewish leaders sent out some temple assistants to talk to John the Baptist. And they said, go out there and ask him these questions. Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? And what do you say about yourself? In the King James, it says, what sayest thou of thyself? What sayest thou of thyself? And it's a good question for all of us to ask. What are we saying about ourselves? What are we saying? Are we saying things, are we saying words that work for us? Or are we saying words that work against us? Only you can answer that. But John the Baptist, he knew who he was. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. What sayest thou of thyself? And so I want to talk about that this morning a little bit. This very important truth about the power of our words. So Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I know your word speaks to us, and I pray that we would be listening today. In Proverbs 21 and verse 23, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. Did you hear that? Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I thought that was funny, but maybe I guess you didn't. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 141, verse 3. He says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life. Everybody say death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So words are very powerful. They bring life or death into our lives and the lives of others. Everybody here today in this room can speak words of life into your own life, into your children if you have children, or your grandchildren if you have grandchildren, or great-grandchildren in our case. And we do that. We speak words of life over them. So we can be a positive influence or a negative influence by the words we speak. Words can stay with you for a lifetime, positive or negative. I'll never forget, as a kid, 11 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, always felt called I'd be a preacher someday. But I was Amish. I was raised Amish. And I was trying to figure out how that would happen, being Amish. Because Amish people, you don't necessarily become a preacher because you're called. You become a preacher by lot. And the way that happens is that an Amish church, when they need a preacher, they have a special service, and all the members speak a name into a deacon's ear. And if your name is mentioned three or more times, you're in the lot. And then you sit around a table, and sometimes there's three people, sometimes there's five, sometimes there's 15. And you sit around the table, and there's in the middle of the table, there's the same amount of books that there are men around the table. And in one book, there's a piece of paper, and they randomly pick books, and the guy that gets the book with the piece of paper, he's the preacher. Now, I'm not saying God can't use that. Because hearing some of them preach, I know he did. But then hearing others preach, I'm not sure. So I always felt called to preach. And I'm thinking, how's that going to be? And so Amish people have church every other week, and the week in between, my dad used to have Sunday school, and then we'd play church. And I was always be the preacher. And all my siblings that were born at that time, I'm the oldest of 12. And so we had a little church service, and I'd be preaching. And one day my grandfather came over, and I was preaching about Daniel. And he said, I'm talking about the power of words is what I'm talking about. He said, maybe after I was finished, he said, maybe someday you'll be a preacher. But he said it in Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Dutch. That's what we would speak at home. And this is what he said. Fly some dog watch to and bready ha. Want to say that? Fly some dog watch to and bready ha. Maybe someday you'll be a preacher. Now, he didn't know it at the time, but those words followed me. You know, when you pray for young people, you pray for people in your family, your prayers will follow them wherever they go. If your prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they'll follow them wherever they go. And those words followed me no matter where. I went the wild way of life for quite a long time, from age 16 to 24. And no matter where I was, no matter how drunk I was, like some dog watch doing ready, huh? Maybe someday you'll be a preacher.
Amen.
Maybe someday you'll be a preacher.
Amen.
No matter how far I tried to run, I'd always hear those words. The power of words is what I'm talking about. And so I was 18 years old, and wild as could be. I had left the Amish because I wanted a car. And so my dad helped me buy a car. He shouldn't have. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. He was also, he was like an Amish rebel. And so whenever it's your turn to host the church service, they hold church services in their house. And whenever it's your turn to host a church service, you, in the first floor of your house, you put all the furniture over to the side or take it outside, and you put in benches for like 100 to 120 people. And so when it's your turn to host a church, you're allowed to invite a guest speaker. Now, I'm wild as could be. I'm rebellious. But I like this one Amish preacher named John's Johnny. He was the best Amish preacher I ever heard, and I said to my dad, why don't you invite him? Because my parents allowed me to live at home, even not dressed Amish, and allowed me to keep my car at the farm, and they were ridiculed for that. And so he said, okay, I will. So the day came, and then I said to my dad, can I come? And he said, he thought a little bit, because I was a little bit of an embarrassment, not dressed Amish, and all these Amish people coming to church service in our house, and there I was, not dressed Amish. And he's a little embarrassed, you know. And then he thought a little bit. I said, can I come? He said, well, okay, if you sit in the hallway. So I sat in the hallway, and I had a clear eyesight to where John's Johnny was preaching. Wow. I still feel it today.
Hallelujah.
Still today.
Hallelujah.
He preached. The last 5 minutes he was on his knees, preaching. Tears running down his cheeks, pleading for us young people to come to Christ. I'll never forget it. I still feel it right now. And then I heard these words. I'm talking about the power of words. I heard these words in my spirit. I didn't know it at that time that it was my spirit. But it said, that's how I want you to preach. That's how I want you to preach. But I was 18, wild. Never got saved till I was 24. But I always remembered those words. Words can bring encouragement. Words can bring validation, strength, and vision. Words can instill into us a can-do attitude. Words can bring discouragement. Words can put down a person. Words can bring rejection that goes deep into the very core of the heart of a person. Did you ever, were you ever with someone, maybe your mom or dad or somebody, who passed on to the, who went to the Lord, to heaven? Were you ever with people? I remember when we were with my mom. She was only 66 and she was dying. And all 12 of us were around her bed. And you talk about the power of words, and she was still talking 5 minutes before she left this earth. 5 minutes before. It was in a whisper because she didn't have much strength, and so we were all leaning in because we wanted to hear her words. And she said, I see a river. And she said, on the other side of the river, there's a spiral staircase. And there's a man dressed in white at the bottom of the spiral staircase motioning me to come. And we said, Mom, go, Mom, go. And that's when she left. Just then. Isn't that amazing? And I remember my brother Steve, because her eyes were still open, my brother Steve just threw his hands down and closed her eyes. Words. We remember words that are spoken to us. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God framed this world that we live in with words. It says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So God framed this world with words. And we are created in His image. So that means that we create our own little world with the words we speak. We have framed our own little world that we live in right now, whether we like it or not. The words that we have spoken yesterday, I don't mean just Saturday, I mean the last years, months, years, those words have framed what we are experiencing right now in our own little world. So if we want to change things, it has to start with the mouth and with the heart. After all, that's how we get saved. Because we believe in the heart and speak and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Right? And so then we take that principle and put it to work in our lives. Because words have great power. Faith has a voice. Fear has a voice. And so we speak words, and our world, our little world, is framed that way. So a couple points here. Number one, words are like seeds. When they are spoken, they are planted or projected into the heart of the person they are spoken to. And words will produce after their kind. There's a harvest that comes from the words that we speak. You know, like sometimes people say, well, you know, it's just one of those days. I always want to say, what days? I know what they mean. They mean we're about to have a negative day. We're about to experience some negative things. Well, I can sure tell it's going to be one of those days. Now, that's just one little example of how we frame our world. And we frame our days with the words that we speak. Are you here? Everybody smile at me. Words go deep into our lives, and we remember them for years, like I said. In Mark chapter 11, in verse 12, it says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he, meaning Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, spoke to the tree, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." That poor tree. And then they went on in the town, and you know, some of you know this story. He goes into the temple, and he sees that the temple is being used for other things other than ministering to people. They were cheating people and selling sacrifices at extreme prices and all kinds of price gouging and all kinds of stuff. And so he got a whip and drove them out of the temple and upset the tables. Then, the next day, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This is verse 20 now. Now verse 21. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." I love when Jesus just took a little time to give his disciples a little nugget of faith. A little teaching, a little moment. And that's what this way he says, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So we see here, this is really interesting, because we see here that words killed the fig tree from the roots up. Words. I'm talking about the power of our words. Words killed the fig tree from the roots up. Went to the roots of the tree. Words bring life or death. Words go into the heart and then work their way out into our lives and affect us in our daily life, negative or positive. And that takes me to my next point. That's why we have to, number two, weigh our words before we speak. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, James 1:19 is, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Quick to listen. Man, I've had to learn that. And I'm not saying I'm perfect today, because I always want to give my opinion. But sometimes the Holy Spirit said, you don't have to give your opinion, just listen. Just shut up and listen. I don't know that the Holy Spirit says shut up, but that's kind of how I take it. Maybe he does, I don't know. But that's what I feel. Just be quiet. You don't have to give your opinion this time. This time, just listen. And listen to understand. Listen to understand. Don't just listen with these ears. To listen to understand, you have to listen with your heart. And to really understand another person or a conversation you're having with somebody. I haven't always been good in this area. And I'm still not perfect. Maybe this happened to you, Jay. I don't know. Probably not. You're probably really good at this. So it probably never happened to you. But I remember one time when the kids were little and I was on my way to church and I was, had to preach as a pastor. Did you all know that a pastor's kids aren't always perfect? Did you all know that a pastor's kids are hardly ever perfect? Right? Did you know that? Don't put that kind of pressure on a pastor's kids. They feel that whether you do it or not, whether you mean it or not, they do it. They feel it. They feel like they're in a fishbowl. They told me that later on. So I'm on my way to church, and they're just little. And they're fussing and fighting in the back seat. And I'm a pastor. I have to preach that morning. And I had enough. And we were driving, and I lost it. I just yelled in the car. I said, I'm not going to tell you all I said. I just yelled, and they kind of like froze. And so now we're in the parking lot. I'm ready to go in and preach. And I just lost it with my kids. I'm talking about the power of our words. And then before I got the car door open, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You have to apologize." I said, "Oh, jeez, apologize." I'm not going to apologize. They deserved it. So I'm going for the handle. You have to apologize before you get out of the car. So I said, all right. I said, all right, kids, I'm sorry. Sorry I lost it. I shouldn't have yelled. Sorry. Please forgive me. And they all chimed, that's okay, Dad. Then I went in and preached. You know, a pastor, I'm telling you, you may need to appreciate this about your pastor, because pastors go through stuff too in their families and in their lives. They go through, but they have to always get up. They can't stay home and watch online. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? They have to get up and preach. They can't say to them, I think I'm going to stay in bed this morning. They say, no, you're not. You're the pastor. In James chapter 3, very interesting verse, couple verses. It says, indeed, this is James chapter 3, verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Wow. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, or it is set on fire by hell itself. That doesn't sound so good about the tongue, does it? But you know, we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us tame our tongue. And He will. But you know, when it says about a horse with a bit, being raised Amish, I worked out in the fields with mules, 6-mule team many times. And I had a lead mule named Dick. And his partner was Pete, Dick and Pete. And the other ones were Jack and Jewel and Mike and Kate. And so Dick, but the little bit in Dick's mouth, I could handle all 6 mules with that little bit. Now, they all had a little bit in their mouth, but Dick's was the main one, and then they had jockey irons that went from his shoulder to the bit of the next mule, on to 6 like that, and that's how I could control the whole team with one little bit. So when it says the tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way if we can control the tongue. Proverbs 10:19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Ecclesiastes 7:9, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Colossians 3:21 in the Message says, parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits. It means to be spiritless or disheartened or to deprive of confidence and courage. Some months ago, we were preaching in Danbury, Connecticut, and came down early, a little early. Cherlin was still getting ready, and I said, I'm going to go down and have a cup of coffee. And so I went down to the place where they had the breakfast, and there was a little boy sitting there. He's probably like 10 years old, and then maybe 11 or 12. And he's just with his head down, and he could just look very disheartened. I was just about ready to go over and talk to him, and in the door comes this man, assuming was his dad. I mean, stormed over to him and just said, you never obey me. You're never going to amount to anything. And on he went. I wanted to go over and slap him. But that wouldn't have been good. And the little boy, the more the dad, the more the little boy sunk. And I just thought, wow, those words are going deep into that little boy's heart. Our kids want to be encouraged, not discouraged. They want us to believe in them. They want to be validated. My great-grandson, Colson, I told you he's now 12, almost 13. He plays basketball, so we go to the basketball games. And he's a good three-point shooter. And so when he makes one, guess who he looks at? When he's running over to the next side, he's looking over at me. And I said, you know, they want to be validated. They want to be encouraged. Amen. Make that decision. No, let me say this first. Point number three, choose to speak words that bring life. Choose. Everybody say choose. Choose to speak words that bring life. The Bible says in John 6:63, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very word that I've spoken to you, this is Jesus, to you are spirit and life. So make the decision to speak words of life before something happens that tempts you to react rather than respond. So our youngest son, Jamie, is now 46 years old. And when he was 20 or something like that, he was out there doing his own thing, just that, like I was at that age. And he had a couple DUIs. And I'm a pastor. A couple DUIs. And whenever you're arrested, your name's in the paper. And so it's one Sunday, we had two services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And so after the first service, this lady comes up and said, "Hey, I saw Pastor Sam, I saw Jamie's name in the paper." You know, I really had to just restrain myself. I just wanted to, Pastor Jay, in my flesh, I wanted to slap her. I said, "Oh, so you think you're perfect?" I didn't say that. I felt that. And then I kind of restrained myself and I said to the lady, I said, "Well, Jamie's gone through a rough time. Would you please pray for him?" So I was kind of proud of myself for what I said. Because you have to really watch what you say. So at times like that, choose to speak words of life. So you respond rather than react. So we had and Jamie's a jazz drummer. He's a really good one. And so we had a professional jazz drummer in the church. His name was Clyde. And I thought, man, if Jamie would get with Clyde, and Clyde was a really committed Christian. And so I just said it. You know, sometimes you just have to say stuff. You don't have to always go into deep intercession. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just said it. I said, "Lord, put Jamie with Clyde. Put Jamie with Clyde." I said that for, I don't know, close to a year. Probably almost every day. Sometimes more than once. Whenever I think about it. "Lord, put Jamie with Clyde." One day Jamie comes to me and says, "Hey, Dad, what would you think if I'd get lessons from Clyde?" "That's a great idea, Jamie." And first lesson, rededicated his life to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He had given his life to the Lord when he was a little kid, like 7 years old or something like that. And now he rededicated his life.
Amen.
And then Clyde gets sick and dies. And Jamie was devastated because Clyde was Jamie's, not only his drum instructor, but his spiritual mentor. And so at the funeral, we opened the funeral. Never did a funeral like this in my life. We opened the funeral with Jamie doing a solo on the drums in honor of Clyde. Pray and speak the word over your children, your grandchildren. It brings life. Before my dad died, 1990, he had a vision. He was in the hospital and he had a vision of Jesus. I came in to see him. I went to see him every day. And he was crying one morning, and I started to cry when he was crying. And I said, "What are we crying about?" He said, "I saw Jesus last night." He said, "He came into my room." I said, "Really? Was it a vision or did he?" He said, "I'm not sure if it was a vision or he was actually physically here." But he said he gave me a message for every one of my kids, 12 kids. I said, did you write it down? He said, no, I remember all of it. So when he got out of the hospital, he called us all together and prophesied over us. words. It was the most anointed time ever in my whole life. Now you understand, my dad was Amish. He never prophesied in his life. Prophesied over all of us. I still remember it. It was amazing. Words. Number four, our words can release the power of faith in God's ability to change our circumstances. I know that's a mouthful. Let me say it again. Our words can release the power of faith in God's ability to change our circumstances. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, an invisible power was released. That would not have happened if he would not have spoken those words. Your words can release a ray of hope to another person, can actually make the difference in someone's life. A word of encouragement contains the ability to project someone else into the realm of faith. Number five, God's words can become our words. God's words can become our words. You know, sometimes people say, well, God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. Well, that's true, but it doesn't mean it has to remain that way. It means that we can get into the Word of God and God's words can become our words. And His thoughts can become our thoughts. And His ways can become our ways. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Observe to do all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Let this word not depart from your mouth, meaning keep the word of God in your mouth. My friends, when we read here, like this morning, and think about the word settles in our heart and becomes part of us. And a reservoir of God's word develops in our lives. Then when we speak from that reservoir, faith in God is released. When we speak words, healing power is released. Delivering power is released. Reconciling power is released. Take His words, I encourage you today, take His words to frame your world. Amen. I think I'm finished. But I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to ask you to pray this prayer after me. If you want, I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. Just if you want, I encourage you to pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I purpose in my heart to make your words my words. I purpose to make your thoughts my thoughts. I purpose to speak words that build up, that edify, that comfort, that bring hope, that inspire faith, words that bring healing, and words that bring vision. I choose to resist the temptation to speak words that bring fear or despair or hurt or words that instill anger. Lord, with your help, I will speak your words. Amen. When you're believing God for something, speak the end desired result. It doesn't mean that we deny a problem or we deny pain and things that we're going through. It just means that we're agreeing with God. I remember my brother Merv, he's number 11 in the family. His wife was diagnosed with cancer, a killing cancer. And so he got all of us siblings, all 12 of us, on the same page. And he said, I'm going to send you an email, an updated email every so often. And I'm going to give you progress. And I want you to agree with us. And I want us all to say the same thing. And so he would always have the same scripture, Psalm 20, verse 5, in his email. And we're going to shout the victory. And then he would say, I want us all to speak the desired end result. So we spoke what we wanted his wife, Kathy, to experience. I think that was 7 years ago now, and she's totally cancer-free. Totally cancer-free. I'm just saying, don't take this lightly. The words we speak affect our lives and affect the lives of other people. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Can you bow your heads just for a moment? I never like to close a service without giving an opportunity for someone to come to Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never made him the Lord of your life, never made that decision, never chose to ask him to be your Lord. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Sam, I did, but I have drifted away. I encourage you to rededicate your life this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Now, all of us can pray this prayer, just so no one's praying alone. But especially if you've never received Jesus or if you need to rededicate your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, gave his life, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I believe he was raised from the dead so that I can have eternal life. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Doesn't it feel good to just speak that? If you prayed that for the first time today or to rededicate your life, please talk to me or Sherilyn or Pastor Jay or Pam or someone here. We want to pray with you further if that's the case. And I believe that you have prayer partners here, a prayer team. If any of you need prayer for any other reason, please don't leave today without receiving prayer. Sherilyn and I'll be here too. Would love to pray with you. But it's been great being with you. And thank you for being a church that preaches the word. And thank you for being a church that loves each other, welcomes each other. Thank you for being a church that loves the people that are not yet here, because they need Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.